Hi, guys. Welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm here today with my guest, comedian Thomas Dale. Thomas, you have me sweating.
Thank you.
I'm getting over a flu, but you won't get it.
Yes,
but
it's fine. Like I was telling you, I'm on Lexapro and Seroquel. So.
Oh, you're on Seroquel? So yes. Is my husband.
It's great. It's like, well, how much? I actually just started cutting down to like the lowest milligrams.
50?
I'm even lower. I'm splitting a 25 milligram one. So I take 12 and a half now.
How long have you been taking it?
2 years. Almost 2 years.
Do you do the night eating?
Oh my God. I was binge eating to the point where I gave myself fatty liver.
Fatty liver?
Yes. Don't worry. It's fine. I'm vegan now and it's being fixed.
What is fatty liver?
I know, right? It's like, don't be jealous. It's abuse of your liver. So I've abused my liver in my life, you know, like with like partying and stuff like that. But that was like whatever, my liver was fine. And then I started binge eating when I started taking Seroquel like 2 years ago. Everything I do is in excess. I'm sure we all do that, but that's what I do. So I started eating like a fucking, like you know, remember in health class those movies they would show you of eating disorders, like the bitch vomiting in the Tupperware and putting it under her bed? That's what you did? Okay, well, I
didn't put it under my bed. I put it in the toilet.
In the toilet? But, all right. Yeah. Well, that's your, yeah.
Yeah.
The real motherfuckers, they put that shit under their bed.
Okay? Really?
Yeah, exactly.
I never even saw that.
I wasn't doing that, but I'm saying I was eating in that fashion.
Yeah.
Like, just shoving it in my mouth.
Was it
like
a lot of night eating?
It was all night
eating.
Okay, yeah. But I mean, I can't differentiate because everything's at night for me, you know?
Mm.
So, because I've always, since I was a kid, I can't sleep. I would go to school on 4 hours of sleep.
Really?
I just would be there up.
Because you were nervous thinking about stuff?
Never nervous. Just my mind just wouldn't stop, you know? So I just would think. And then, yeah, like there are time periods where it's worry. But then there's time periods where it's just like thinking all the time. And it just, I wouldn't get tired. Like that was the thing. I never felt tired.
Wow.
And then in the day, then I felt tired. So I would sleep in class.
Did people think that was like a manic episode sort of thing?
I was diagnosed with bipolar 2. When I was like 22. So up until then, it was really just, oh, your son's high strung. Said I was high strung. I was like, I'll show you high strung, bitch. You know? And that was like the moms would say that to my mom. You know, like, but then teachers would say to my mom and dad, if your son wasn't so funny, he would not pass. Like they literally, two teachers said it to my mom. She goes, we love your son so much and he's so funny and that's why he's passing. So I would get like a 65 in every 65. If I got a 70, I was like, oh, I'm so smart.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's manic shit.
So do you do like the high highs and the low low kind
everything
of thing?
Everything just has always seemed like a high high. Like everything is always, and I guess the low lows is maybe like when I feel no, maybe just like tired.
But not depressed.
Yeah. Depression, I just started to feel like I've always been very happy, you know? I don't know. I really don't, to be honest. I don't know. I guess I got sad in a normal way, like the normal way people would be sad. And when I overdosed, it was like more of like of a thing I did. And I felt like that was the only way out. Yeah. I'm not a mopey, sad person.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, I'm an anxious person.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of, I'm an intense person, I think I would say. Mm-hmm. I'm intense.
When I... talking to you, I start to talk.
New York?
Yes. Yeah, did you notice?
A lot of people do that.
Oh, really?
It's like when you talk to a black person and all of a sudden you're like, yo, Jay, like, yo, my dude. Like, it's just like that. It's fine.
I feel myself and I'm catching myself and I'm trying to like kind of measure it back and forth. But what part of New York are you from?
I was born in Queens and then raised in Long Island, Valley Stream, which is like the first town. Look at you. I'm not even touching your flu prints. Her flu prints. She's putting her flu prints all over the table and showing me. Are you testing me? Is this exposure therapy that I walked into right now and no one told me?
Your mom's here too.
Exactly. Yeah, they're like, we need you to get through this.
Wait, so what part in Long Island?
Valley Stream. It's the first town in Long Island. So it's basically like Queens.
Great Neck.
Great Neck is more North Shore, and then Valley Stream is South Shore, but they would run perpendicular to each other.
And you're Italian.
Italian, yep.
And Jewish or
nope? A lot of people say Jewish, but no. I feel like if you were a Jewish person, they should be offended by people saying that I'm Jewish only because it's from the crazy neuroticness of me that people are like, oh, that's Jewish.
Well, in that particular area is a lot of Jewish
that's where it comes
Jewish
from,
people.
Of course.
Yeah, everyone in Hewlett Neck and
Great Neck, yeah.
My dad grew up in Merrick.
Merrick, yeah. Merrick is
where
more
Lindsay
along
Lohan's
the lines.
From.
Yeah. I worked in America, Nick D'Angelo's. It was an Italian restaurant. Dina Lohan wanted to manage me.
Really?
Yeah.
So how old were you at that point?
I was 25, 26.
And you were doing stand-up?
I wasn't doing stand-up. I was telling her that like I was thinking of going into it and that I wanted to learn and you know do. So I did my first bringer show. I was like 27.
In New York?
In New York, yeah. At Caroline's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, well, if you do decide to do stand-up, I'm a manager and blah, 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 and all this stuff.
Who were her clients?
Dina. And then maybe, not Dina.
Lindsay.
Lindsay. She managed Lindsay. She was a momager. And then, yeah, so then I was like, shit, Lindsay Lohan's mom? That would be great, you know? But like this business, nothing ever comes through, so.
Right. Well, she probably had nothing going on.
And she was a wreck herself. Yeah, exactly. She was a wreck.
Not in a good place. Yeah. It wasn't Parent Trap hype.
Right, exactly right. It was Rumors, which is a fierce fucking album.
Doesn't she have a new song?
I don't know.
And she made a music video. Do you follow?
No, I don't follow anything. I can't. I have to stay in my own world. Otherwise, I get like extra.
Yeah.
You know?
And then are you sober now? Sort of. Yeah.
I smoke weed, but no drugs. No like pills. I'm not like
ever since
Adderalling it up and
the overdose.
No. Ever since like 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
like I just was like, I can't do this.
What happened 2 years ago?
I was like, and if you could probably see some of my Laugh Factory videos, I look a little. I was on a lot of Adderall. Like I was abusing Adderall for like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was on like 90 milligrams a day.
Oh my god, yeah, that's like, a lot.
Because I was only sleeping 4 hours a night. Like, I would wake up, crack the piece, take a piece, and then, like, throughout the day, just keep cracking pieces. And, like, I would go, like, I would go do spots, and then I would just, like, walk around Hollywood at 2 a.m. till, like, 7 a.m. on Adderall, smoking my vape, my weed pen.
Did you get a lot of stuff done?
I don't know. I just got, I don't know. Yeah, I almost sold a show, but, I mean, it was, like, yeah, it was a lot of things that was... I was getting a lot done. I almost had a heart attack on stage.
Oh, my God.
I was
like, on stage?
Well, listen, I always think I'm having a heart attack. So
yeah.
My words,
I've been to the hospital so many times for
oh,
stuff
my God.
Like
I was
that.
Just at the urgent care like a month ago, and it was gas.
I think I'm having a heart attack
because now I'm veganish. So
oh,
I
really?
Like,
what's veganish?
I eat egg and fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no meat, no chicken, no dairy.
Did something happen?
The fatty liver.
Oh.
Are you listening?
Okay, I'm just like putting it together. Wait.
You're just lost in my words.
Yeah,
huh?
I need I'm to mesmerizing. Stop having dairy. It makes me so bloated.
It's so bad. All of it's bad for you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and I
you
get
look
tired.
Great, so it doesn't matter. But
I'm sick. Well, I look better than this normally.
Oh, okay, good. I don't know. You're a girl, so I think you all look the same.
Thank you. Do you?
Yeah, you're all pretty girls to me. All are just pretty girls. And then like... then like, I don't know.
Then
regular
what's the
girls.
Next class?
I don't know. I don't want to go. I was like, I don't know. Don't worry about it. But yes, girls, oh, they were like Asians, you know? You all look alike.
Yeah.
A lot of Asians look alike. Let's understand that that's a stereotype that's allowed to be true.
Yeah.
Chinese especially all look a lot alike. Like, why can't we just, I am so over the fact that we can't admit that there are stereotypes that are true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of gay stereotypes that are, most gay stereotypes are very fucking true.
Like?
You know, like that we are very overly sexual. Well, we're easily, we can get sex easy. So it's very promiscuous. There is a flamboyant personality that comes with a lot of gayness.
What is that?
I think that...
It happens from a young age, too.
I think it's just... Here's what I think it is. I think that gay is in the brain. So I think that we're just connected to both... I used to think it was like a brain damage, like deficiency. But now...
Damage?
I thought we were fucked up. I thought being gay was like a problem.
But that's like a Catholic upbringing.
That was just... Well, it was just my own self-discovery. I don't think every gay person just automatically loves themselves. And the ones that act like they do are lying. So
wow.
I've just been honest with
my
journey.
I recently heard Jessica Kirsten talking about that.
Me and Jessica are a lot alike on that lines. We've always kind of
I really felt
that.
For her when I heard, you know, and mm-hmm. the
same. Yeah. So I've actually gone to her for advice about like, because I used to abuse Ambien and stuff and she had that issue. And so, yeah, through my journey. And then now I see it as a fucking dope ass like X-Men type thing. Because I think we have like girl and boy brain. Like we have both of that. So that girl, because I know I like straight dudes. I need to have a straight boy. That's like what I love. And
like
I think,
turning one out?
Not even turning one out, because I don't want him to be gay at all. I want him to love women, but just like to bro out with me or something.
Oh, okay. As a friend.
As a friend, but then also just like there's a little piece of me that likes how they treat... They are so... molded to women that they'll, even when they're hooking up, like if I hook up a straight dude afterwards, he's like still talking to me and stuff. And I'm like, oh, you're so straight. Like, because they have, like with girls, they have to still talk a little bit after they come, you know? Yeah. Whereas if it's a gay dude, he's already wiping up before I nut, you know? So that's like the difference. Like, so I like, they appease the female in me. Mm. Like straight men have this need to be strong and brave all the time. And I think that's so adorable.
Yeah.
And that's the girl in me that love thinks that's so cute. But the boy in me, like, I'm like, I understand it, that why they do it, but I don't need to do it because I have that mm-hmm. female confidence, you know?
Which side do you feel like you're a little more on?
I think it's very, I'm bi-gender, which means that I'm straight down the middle. So apparently, like, my therapist explains that when I wake up, gender's just in your brain. It's not your genitals, yeah. right? So I'm obviously a man, like, duh, you mm-hmm. know? But my brain, when I wake up, it resets it, they said. So, like, a typical female genital having person would be like, I think it's the right side, I think it's the right, and then the male's are the left. So each day it resets. So one day I wake up completely... I say often the days that are my easiest where I'm just like, whatever.
Our
guy days. Yeah. Where if you don't text me back, I'm cool with it. Whereas when I wake up on the females, and I think there are straight men who can be bi-gender too.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I know, yeah.
It's not a gay or straight thing. It's a lot of, anyone can be
that. It's just like that female-male part of your brain.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just a biological thing. And I've always been very trying to figure the fuck out of what I am and who I am. And I think that's what it is. I'm not positive about it, but I think that's what it is. It feels like that.
It sounds like you have a good therapist.
I have a great therapist, and I'm doing the work. You can't, you know, you really have to want to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been at three other therapists before in my life, and I've been like, I wound up giving them therapy. Like, I always described it as that.
Yeah.
But this guy really gets it. And he, you know what it is? He loves his job. Mm-hmm. So he loves the mind. So I love that. I love people who love their job.
But he's a therapist.
He's
not
a psychologist.
Yeah.
Right. He's a psychologist. So he does like psychotherapy and all that stuff. And he's just very into. He's a Gemini, and Geminis love the mind.
Does he do any sort besides talking? Does he have you do any like worksheets and stuff like that?
It's all just like he's actually. We're like we've like gotten this like great relationship where he says he's fascinated by my mind, and I say I'm fascinated by how much he loves the mind, and like it just works well together.
Mm-hmm.
So he's learning from me, and I'm learning from him.
You ever get jealous when you hear your friends talk about what they do in therapy, and you're like, my fucking therapist doesn't do that?
No. My friends,
like
no, I'm the only one who goes. None of my friends go to therapy.
Really?
Yeah, because I hang out with like all very like alpha kind of guys who are just like, don't think therapy is
worth it.
Who are
comics.
Yes.
Yeah.
And well, actually, now I don't really hang out with anybody but my dog.
Uh-huh.
Literally, like the past year, I've just taken a step away from comedy. Not away from it, but just not the world of it.
How
I feel so much better.
Right? I was just going to say, how has that been?
It's so amazing.
So did something specifically happen that made you want to like take a step back, like emotionally, mm-hmm. spiritually, psychologically?
I think
spiritually. Because this is like a very hard career. It's a very, mm-hmm. you know, just being in the midst of it, comparing mm-hmm. despair and all that. Do you get into that? That's
course,
like a big subject 100%. For me on this
yeah.
podcast. But some people,
it
like,
never
don't...
comparing and never ever ends up good ever.
Yeah,
and it's never even real because all the things you're comparing, you find out it's like, oh, I know the real story behind that and how. Oh, this is why this person got so many. Like, I'm not. I mean, look at TikTok.
Yeah.
There's the most, TikTok is like the basic example of how anyone with the right algorithm or right person who puts them on or can get quote unquote famous.
Uh-huh.
Famous means nothing.
See, I'm not even on TikTok, so.
I was refusing to go on it, and
me
I was told
too.
A few times to go on. Then my roommate, I hear him in the living room, I hear it going. Then I went home, and my little nieces were like, do a TikTok with us. Then I go on, I see all these, first of all, if there's any pedophiles watching, go to TikTok because I'm not a pedophile and I'm watching. There are these 18, 15, 16-year-old boys jacked, quarter, like just, and they're all dancing sexy and licking their lips. And I'm like, what? I go, if I was a pedophile, I would never leave my room.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I'm watching for a while and I'm like, I have to stop because I feel like it's going to turn me into a pedophile. Like,
is it fun?
No, it's not fun. It's just hot children.
It's
dancing
really
naked.
Just hot children dancing?
Yes. It's so gross and ridiculous.
Damn, I got to sign up.
No, just go look. You'll see. No, seriously, look at the boys on there.
Because I felt like I didn't need like another thing.
No,
like,
you don't need another thing at all.
I can't.
We don't even need the things we have now.
Instagram already drives me insane.
Insane. And here's the thing. This is why I'm not at the peak of where I should be in my career, like as far as with my talent. I'm never a trend person. Since I was a kid, I have never been one to hop on the fads. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I actually go against it. So it's like all the things that you do to get viral and do all that stuff, I'm always like, well, what's the opposite that I can do? You know, like, what do I just can't, I just, it like irks my skin, right? Which has been the thing, I think, to hold me, I guess you can say hold me back because I refused, you know, there's been certain
like fear
things,
of success kind of thing?
Not even fear of success, fear of success through selling myself out.
Yeah, mainstream.
I have said no to so many things because I'm like, that's just not my style. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't want to do that. I don't need to be famous enough to be a thing I don't want to be or to be in a position I don't want to be in. I don't want to get famous on something I can't be happy about.
That's amazing. Yeah, and you've always just felt that way?
I've always felt that way. And yes, it's amazing, but it's also like I've had to go through frustration of not being where I deserve to be, but I've had to take full accountability for that. I don't believe in like, oh, woe is me or this, I don't get the opportunities. No, I've made decisions that I did with Late Night once, and then I decided I don't want to do it again.
Because it's like, it's you corny. Can't be your, I know. I've you can't done, be you know, yourself, I've been asked watered to do, down yeah. material.
It just, like, I did it, I proved I, it was great, whatever. It wasn't, I didn't have fun in the process. I didn't even like what, you know, I was like, all right, great, here's a good tape for you.
Mm-hmm. Because I too, like, you know, I submitted, they said I was too edgy.
Oh,
half
it's like,
the
get
stuff
out of
okay,
here.
And like, none of my Look stuff at, is clean.
But it's like,
and I don't have fun, and it's yeah, like, it just doesn't feel fun. You. I'm like, this isn't going to feel fun.
Right.
And it's just like the...
You're just doing it just to do it, to get the next thing.
Yeah.
And that's the only way in this business to get big, is you have to do the thing to get the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I just... Never.
Yeah, the
I
intention
just can't, I don't
behind
have it.
It is
yeah,
gross.
It's all gross.
So was your? Cause so you? You're kind of. You're mostly edgy too.
Yeah, totally. I'm
so
just honest.
So was it? So it was really hard, probably, to like put that. Did you feel like so watered down and?
For that, I did. I actually was one of the first openly gay comedians who went on Late Night said I'm gay and this and that. Like as a late night comic. No,
that's awesome.
That was it. Was for Craig Ferguson. Nobody else did it yet, and then I did it, and that was like. Considered, oh, wow, look at him. And people would even say, damn, I've never seen a late night spot where someone was like, oh, I'm gay and blah, 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 and then telling all the different, my point of view on stuff, you know? So I did the things where I wanted to do. You know, I did a joke about like how straight guys love when a girl wears high heels naked. And I'm like, that's so weird. You know, I did that kind of bit and I did my point of view. And so that's like could be, you know, I warded it down a little bit. But I still did my material I want. It was only 5 minutes, so I was able to take... I found 5 minutes out of an hour, you know, so...
How long have you been doing stand-up?
At that time, I was... Now I'm at 13 years. At that time, I was at 5 years. Because I had gotten New Faces, and then I did Late Night after that.
When did you
Because they saw
new
me
faces?
At New Faces. 2012.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so that was... Yeah, so I was like 6 years in. So, yeah, so I did that, and it was great.
Yeah, you're so fucking funny.
Yeah, but like regardless of... Go ahead.
When I saw you when we were both doing the Laugh Factory, it's like I normally never stay and watch.
Right, yeah,
I would never
course.
Stay
it's
and
like,
watch someone's 20-minute set. I want to get back to LA.
Right, exactly.
But I just was, I had seen you in the belly room and like you're it's like for me.
Yeah,
I think
yeah, yeah.
It's for
it's a lot. It's yeah.
It's for me, and I think it's also like for people my age because all of your references are like
yes.
things that me and my friends, you know.
Yeah,
like
totally.
The
yeah,
Little
yeah, yeah.
Mermaid,
uh-huh.
the
yeah,
pussy
yes.
Throw it over the shoulder uh-huh, like a fur coat.
Yes.
So
my
fucking,
pussy shawl.
Well, not that that one's the age thing, but the Little
yeah.
Mermaid. I don't know. It just
yeah,
felt
yeah,
like,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so fucking funny.
But I and it's great and stuff. But I just got to a place where I'm like. I'm tired of just being funny. I want it. So now I'm like going into the spiritual space because I have these other gifts that I never embellished on because there was never glory to it. So I used to get visions when I was like a kid, like in the 90s and stuff. Like
everyone, that happens to everyone from Long Island.
That makes sense.
Right? There are so many mediums from Long Island. They're all coming from there.
There must
They're
be
all
something.
Coming from there.
There must be something in the water.
Wait, you're the third.
Is there?
How
there,
many?
Well,
there's like,
Teresa.
Yeah,
and
then
who else?
There's a one who has the new E show.
Is he from Long Island, Tyler
Henry?
He looks
Henry? Like it, and his accent
He does sound
like
he's
it.
From it, yeah.
I think there's another one, too.
There's something
there's
about
like
the water.
There's five. Wait, there's so many.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not just a straight-up medium.
Mike, will you tell me how many you can hear?
Yeah, let us know.
Can you hear us, Mike? There's seven?
There's seven from Long Island. Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm a Heyoka empath.
Okay,
and
what
then
is that?
That's
Heyoka?
Heyoka, yeah. It's like one of the higher levels of empath, and I'm able to unveil your truth. So like through talking to people, I just know their, I can sense their truth and I can like see like the honest thing. I've always had to like kind of even dumb myself down to act like I don't know anything. And I always would just know what, even if someone didn't know for themselves, I would know what their truth is.
Can you know mine?
Yeah. If I like talk to you for a little bit, like it gets and serious.
I know what you're
going to
say. Every person who says who they read me, they go, you have a lot of sadness. Every single person who they always say that, and then it instantly makes me feel like I want to cry because it's someone who's reading you and telling you a lot of stuff, and then it just makes you feel like.
Well, no, the energy, the feeling I feel from you, because I can see through, I see the truth and all that stuff. I feel a frustration in you that you've always had in your life. Yes, like a frustration to not be seen for who you are. Like you, there's a deeper you, and you feel that you, no one ever gets to see that part of you.
That's somewhat true. Yeah.
And it's like
except for the people very close to me.
Well, most people, but for the most people for you, you feel like they don't ever get to that deep layer. And I don't know if it's because you don't show them it or it's because they don't care to take that next step.
Damn.
Yeah, and you sense that and it hurts you.
Wow.
Yeah, right? There's something to that.
I think there's something
And if we talked
that.
For a while, I do readings now for people in my apartment.
You do? Because
yes,
now you're getting
amazing.
In your, like...
Yeah! Because I'm feeling myself. This is what, this is my true self. You don't even know. I am
you're
like...
You're
relaxing
into your comfortable,
yeah,
like,
my clairvoyant self. That's what I am. I'm a clairvoyant.
Wait, do you have a special chair at home?
I have two chairs.
For your readings?
Well, first of all,
wait,
I used to have...
Wait, you're relaxing into, like,
this
clairvoyant gypsy.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I've found myself. It's beyond comedy. It's like who I truly am.
I love this.
And my new mission in life is to make as many people happy that everyone I come in contact with, I want to help them and fulfill them in a way that like they can be better off in their life.
Mm.
And so now, and then I obviously have to be financially stable. So I'm creating a business now and doing this on the side.
Of readings.
I call them experiences.
Okay.
Because I sit with you for an hour and then...
Spiritual experiences.
Yeah, it's a life-changing experience, actually. Because you'll leave, and you'll on a prescription pad, like you'll write, on just a pad, I'll get the answers from like a divine energy, and I'll tell you. I told one girl she had to go buy a bonsai tree. I said, I don't know why, but there's something about the bonsai tree that I'm feeling. Who knows? She could meet someone buying it. It could, whatever it is. So one girl, I said, you have to buy a jump rope. And then
what?
It came to be that she used to jump rope when she was a kid to release energy. And she hasn't done that. It's release anxiety. And I felt that lot. Yeah, a lot. It's just a lot. So anyway, yeah, so
well,
I do that.
Do I need to buy anything?
Well, if I would need time to talk to you. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So you can check out my website, kewenthomas.com, kewenthomas.com. And then all the information is there, and then people book appointments through
there. Oh, my God.
It's actually my passion now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So is that part of what you've been busy doing for the past year?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I started doing free readings at the dog park to practice it. So I was like open miking it at the dog park, basically. And I would take people in the back area and I would do them for like 10 minutes. And every single time I was like nailing it.
Oh, my God.
And people were like shook. Like they were like, oh, my God. Like then... one of my friends, I don't want to say her name because I don't want to exploit her, but she had texted me, and she's a comic, and she had said, we haven't seen each other in a bit, I want to talk. And then I said, of course, she's like, I need your guidance as a friend.
Wow.
So then I hung up with her, someone who passed away in her life, came to me. I didn't see him physically, but I said, he was like handing me a teddy bear. And then I said, all right, I'll tell her when I see her. And I hadn't seen her. Then a month went by. We didn't see each other. And so I texted her. I was like, I have to ask you. I was like, because it was really strong when it came to me. And these medium things have been happening. And I go, you're blank, because I don't want to say who it was. People might have seen on stories. I think came to me. I go, they were handing me a teddy bear with like a ribbon on it. I said, did you ever get a teddy bear with a ribbon on it or something? Like, and she goes, wow. She goes, ever since blank passed away, I've been sleeping with the teddy bear that he gave me. And it used to have a ribbon on it, but I can't remember the color. Because I said it was either pink or blue, and I couldn't decipher. And she said, yeah, it used to have a ribbon on it. I go, well, they came to me, and then all this stuff. So anyway, yeah. So then I was like, that was happening a lot and a lot. And then I started driving Uber because I was not doing comedy a lot.
Yeah.
And I've been making all my money from comedy for 6 years now. So I had to supplement that money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, fuck it, I'll just drive Uber. I don't care. I drove Uber, and strangers would get in my car. I haven't been around strangers in 13 years. I've been only around comics and people of comedy. So I'd have strangers in my car, and I would get these images and visions, and I would start speaking to them about it, and I would practice on them. And people were like, oh, tipping me like $30 and saying it was the best experience they've ever had in their whole life. And I was like,
Oh my God.
So it's like I had to take a step back from what I was pounding out for 13 years and just be like, what is this gift? And I realized it was like not about the fame and spotlight. And even for like the past 2 years in comedy, I've been telling the host to bring me up to no applause. I started hating the whole ego part of it. So wow. I don't care about credits. Just tell them no applause. I just want it to be silent.
A cool experience in itself.
Yes, it was cool for the host because there was a couple of hosts that were like so uncomfortable in their own skin.
Yeah, what did they specifically say?
They would say, I've never seen that. They would say, this next comic coming to the stage, he requests that you don't applaud. And then some of them would be on auto and be like, give it up for Thomas Dale. Or they would be like, and I would say, so, and I would have to direct them. I'd be like, don't say, give it up for Thomas Dale, because then they're going to clap. Just say my name. And then I'll come. And they're like, it's going to be awkward. And I'm like, fine. That's life. So every time I would come up,
I'm sure there's a few people.
Yes, there were some assholes. And then I would acknowledge that.
Or feel like they have to.
Right. And I would acknowledge, I always felt whether it was an asshole or someone who just was on auto. And I would acknowledge it in that way.
Yeah.
And I said, at the end of what I do, then applaud when I've done something. Don't just hand me applause. I haven't done anything. That's why everyone's so, there's so much ego in this. Because no one's earning their shit. I said, let me do my time, and then I promise you, you'll applaud.
Yeah.
And 100% of the time, it felt so much realer. Like,
and better. Earned.
It was like, people would like... So to me, that was a beautiful thing. It had nothing to do with, I felt great about myself. It had everything to do with, it just felt natural. And I felt like it was, you know, great. So... in the Uber, I started seeing these powers more, and I said, fuck it, let me start charging, you know? And
then How much do you charge?
It's $60 for an hour. Oh, very cheap.
That's not bad.
Yeah, because I'm not trying to rip anyone off. Yeah.
I have to do it.
Who do I have? I have Audrey. What's her name?
Stewart? You know,
yeah, she's coming in.
The comic?
Yeah, the really funny, like, crazy actor. Yeah. She's coming in Monday.
Wow.
Yeah, Mary Ellen, do you know her? Mary Ellen, she's Mm-mm. or Jane Johnson, whatever. Mm-mm. They're coming in.
They sound like fake names. No, I'm kidding.
I know, right? I don't like Jane. Mary. It does. No, Mary Ellen's fair. She does. She like produces a bunch of shows too.
Oh, okay.
Now you're like, who is this bitch? Let me see. Let me get on. Who books that?
Wait, damn. Is it almost 2:30?
Okay. Yeah. Let me know because I gotta go to my therapist.
Okay. I want
to
get into
my This Is Not Happening story. Yeah.
Would you like recount it?
Yeah.
The pod. I just love the story.
Thank
and
you.
It was sort of similar to what happened to me in a way, except for the AIDS stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have to see it to understand that when you say the AIDS stuff. There's no AIDS. No one has AIDS.
AIDS.
Yeah. I was in the story, Cliff Notes, I was like 20 years old, 19, 20. I had moved to LA. I lived in a hostel. Met this hot bartender. He was like 40, muscles. Feeds me all these free margaritas. Long story short, he's driving me back to his place. He tells me he has AIDS. I'm drunk.
No, wait. He said, I've been...
Yeah, he's like... that's one of
that
the jokes. One of the
so
jokes is...
That funny to me.
He was like...
Did he really say that?
Yeah. When we got to his apartment, because he said, he's like, you know, I have AIDS. And I was like, I was drunk. I was like, well, I'm a 90s kid. I know if we use a condom, AIDS is fine.
How old were you?
I was like 19.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, so then I go, that's fine. So we go to his apartment. He's like, I'm going to jump in the shower. I've been doing crystal meth all night. And I was like, ew, I don't shower with people, but I'll be out here waiting for that AIDS dick.
You said that?
That was the joke. No, that's just the joke that you said
that's
just
so
now.
Funny.
So that's
I
just
know.
A written joke. Anyway, so then we wound up not having sex. He poured a condom on. He tried to fuck me. And I was like, then there's a line where I was like, I'm on all fours like a, like a birthday pony. Greased up like a breakfast skillet. And he's like trying to fuck me. And I'm like, go ahead, get it. And I'm a virgin, mind you. I had no desire to fuck anyone. But because he was so honest about having AIDS, I was like, well, I can't say no now.
Did you really feel that?
I really felt that. I truly felt, wow, he was honest. So why would I punish him now, right? Like, why would I say, sorry, I can't do this and get out?
I know, that's so uncomfortable. I feel really bad for people.
Because then it would make him feel like, well, fuck this. I'm not going to tell anybody. Right? Like, that's how I felt. So I felt a little bit of a responsibility to be educated enough to know that if we wore a condom, we're fine.
Wow.
I didn't want to be ignorant, you know? So he was like trying.
Was it too big?
I was too tight. I was 19 and I never had anal sex ever in my life.
Yeah.
That little perfect little pink 19-year-old asshole. Woo! Yeah. TikTok.
TikTok.
Got me all riled up. You got to go on TikTok and see these boys. Even you little straight things in the box. You'll love them. So he was trying to poke. And there's the line in there where in the video where I go, I swear an angel was holding my asshole shut.
That was so, oh my, every single line in. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
bit. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that was, then I say, I moved, I was so shook after that. I was convinced I had AIDS because of my hypochondriac.
Yeah.
And even though we didn't have sex, I was like, oh my God, I was in the same room. And that all the ignorance. I was trying not to be ignorant, but I was so ignorant. And then I moved back to New York because I was shook. Because
you thought you had AIDS.
I was like, I have AIDS. I want to spend my time with my family. I'm going to die.
That's so funny and dramatic.
I had no desire to like go be on pills and be, you know, this. It wasn't even like such a long time. It was like 2001. So yeah. It was like, they have medicine for it.
Yeah.
You don't have to just die.
And you didn't want to get
a,
you didn't,
I didn't want
to,
I waited a whole year.
Think about going to the doctor to get a test because you were scared to know the answer.
I was
still
like,
get afraid to get the AIDS test, even though I know
nothing,
I don't have
right,
it.
Right, of course, because you just get nervous.
And they always wait so long to fucking tell you.
Yeah.
They're like, and you.
Yeah. Oh, negative. Yeah, you're not, yeah. They tell you everything. No syphilis, no herpes, no gonorrhea. No, I'm like, ah.
They take a long
But now I don't
beat.
Care. I don't have sex, literally. I don't
really?
Have it. I've had intercourse with two people my whole life. My ex-boyfriend, Ricky, who comes at the end of that story. Because then the story, long story short, goes into like, I move back to New York. I fall in love. I get the AIDS test a year later. I was negative, obviously. I fell in love. We were together for 3 years. I like try to kill myself because it was a whole thing. So go see the story. It's on This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central's YouTube page. And then after that, I found comedy. And
but you get 50. You got 51.
Oh, 5150. Oh my God, they took
How
my
long
ass.
Where was that?
In Nassau. What is it called?
Nassau
Medical Center. Nassau Medical Center.
How many days did you have to stay?
2 days.
Because you got out early?
I got out on Monday.
Early.
Of course, we're white.
I know.
Of course we got out early.
I know. Well, you're supposed to stay for 3.
Yeah, no. My dad is an ex-cop. There was no way.
Really?
Yeah. They would have let me out that night, but it was the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So apparently there's no psychiatrist on deck. So you have to wait till Monday.
When you were in there, then did you share a room?
No,
with
I was in my room. I woke up in like a straight
You really
up
woke up in a straight
bed,
jacket?
The straight jacket I added for the story.
Yeah.
But I woke up in a hospital bed, the gowned.
Yeah.
And like the feeties with no shoes, you know, like my shoes were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a nurse sitting at my door. Like it was like a one-on-one, like one. I was watched for 24 hours. Yeah, like that kind of thing. So, and then it made me realize too, when I woke up and there was like actual crazy people, I was like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. I'm just a gay kid who found love, fucked it up, and thinks he'll never be in love again. That's all it was.
Did you have...
I never wanted to die. I love life.
Yeah. Did you have the feeling, though? Like, were you afraid that you weren't potentially going to get out in 3 days?
Yes. Oh, my God.
How
I wanted
scary
to be,
is that?
It was fucking... I was like, get me out now.
Because they wheeled me in on a stretcher.
Yeah,
I was acting
me too.
Because I was like, oh, I'm not going to... Because they bring you from the hospital to the... the actual hospital.
From the emergency
after
room.
After you're done.
Right.
To the mental hospital. And I was in the car saying crazy shit like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm not going to go in. Watch this.
Right.
Watch this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
because
once you turn...
crazy.
Oh, my God.
And I was,
once you flip the switch.
And she was like, uh-huh. And then they just push me in and wheel me in. And then the doors close like boom.
Yep.
And then I was like, wait, what?
Yeah,
and
bitch.
Everyone there was so crazy.
Yeah.
And I was in the crazy part because they didn't have any beds in like the more normal
part.
Oh,
yeah. One woman said to me, she was like, you see that man over there? I was like, yeah. She's like, he raped me out in the courtyard. And I was like, ugh.
That's scary.
Yes. And then there was another guy like in the other room screaming, all fags die of AIDS. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was like people like walking up and down the hallway with like sunglasses on, mm-hmm. like reading a book. And I remember, I was like, I wonder what chapter they're on. They were never fucking reading it.
No.
They were just holding the book open. So
like insanity.
Yeah, and there was two girls in my room, and one of them had like really frizzy hair, and the other one was moaning the whole night, mm-hmm. like, ah!
No, right?
And then, so one of them was watching me sleep the entire time. Shoot, the frizzy hair girl was just watching me like
God.
This, standing over me. And then in the morning, they were like, I've been here for like over 3 weeks. And they go, just to let you know, they don't let everyone leave.
Oh my God.
And I got so afraid.
Oh my God.
And then when
yes.
I had the meeting with a guy.
Yes, you have to be like.
I flirted.
Of course, yeah, yeah, girl. Yeah. I was like, shit. If I would have flirted, it would have got me two more days.
No, I was like, I have to get back. I was like, I have to go back home. I'm so busy.
And he was so like, dude. Busy. Oh, and my God. But that sounds crazy. I'm so busy. I have a lot of things to tend to. The president is coming at one. Like, you sound insane.
And he goes, what do you have to do? Yeah, and I go, stand up. And he goes, I love stand up.
See?
I go, I have a lot of shows.
That's the difference between you, a pretty girl, and me. If I was like, oh, you do stand up? Oh, that's nice.
No.
You do jokey jokes? Oh, you make people laugh? I'm sure you do. I'm telling you, bitch. It's totally different.
Really?
Yes.
And then when they're letting me leave, they all lined up and they jumped up and down and go, she's leaving. She's getting out. She's
getting out.
Oh, my
God.
It was like
that's a
movie.
Real. You went to a mental house.
It was,
like, that's
insane.
It was
insane. So scary. And then I felt so fucked up for a month after.
Yeah. You shook
Did
a little.
Did you feel fucked
yes.
up? When you left?
Yes, 100%.
When I went outside and hit the pavement,
yeah.
the world felt weird
yes,
to
it
me.
Felt,
and it
I
looked
felt,
weird.
Yes, it felt very
like,
real.
Like disassociated.
It just, or maybe associated. Maybe, I think it fucking put me in like, oh, this is reality, y'all.
Oh.
Yes, I think when we left there, you saw the world for what it is. Just whatever is in front of you.
I was acting crazy.
Yeah, of
when
course.
I left.
Oh,
I
yeah.
started recording
I shaved
everything.
A five in the back of my head.
A five?
Yeah, and I made
a 5150?
No, five is my number. Oh. I got that, and then I have this here. Five is my guiding number. Whenever I see it, I know I'm on the right path.
And that's just your cue?
No, it's just what I've always seen. It just has always been very prevalent.
Five?
Yep.
So that's like your
my
adopted
number.
Thing?
Yeah.
Wait, and where did that come from?
I just was conscious of it. Anyone I was really connected to was connected to the number five. Addresses I would get had a lot of fives in it. My phone numbers were like 5155. Everything. Like my boyfriend that I fell in love with, Ricky, his favorite number was five. When I got a job at Chelsea, my parking lot number was 5555, and that was like the first
uh-huh.
TV job I ever had.
Were you
a
writer on it?
I was a writer and cast, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was a nightmare. But fun,
uh-huh.
because I had nothing
nightmare
else.
How?
Just the,
oh,
it was just, no, it was just not really a welcoming situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I took Josh Wolf's place.
Okay.
And they were really mad about Josh Wolf leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But he left
on
his own accord. He wanted
yeah.
to go.
Okay.
So anyone taking that new position was
yeah.
going to be rough. And Chelsea liked me, and they didn't really like that, the other writers.
Oh.
Yeah. That's just the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
Fortune was amazing to me, and Jen Kirkman was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Jeff Wild.
How long were you there for?
I was only there for like seven, eight months.
Mm-hmm.
It was when me and Annie Letterman, we were on together. We used to always, we were
oh,
like, we oh my God, we crack up about it because we were always stressed out.
Really?
Because it was just such a stressful environment. Yeah.
Mm.
It was just great.
So, talk to me. Okay, so mm-hmm. you're saying the five. You're a very
yeah.
intuitive person.
Yes.
How do you think, what's your advice for, so mm-hmm. for me, one of the big things that I have right now is like that I don't listen to my gut and
mm-hmm.
follow my intuition
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
And I have a thing where, and this is like, you know, I have awareness about it now. So I really try to like practice that. What is your advice to someone for
about
that?
About following your gut and intuition?
Yeah. And like really yeah. getting connected to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, first you have to like get in the flow of things. So you have to like, it's really, it sounds so cliche, but you truly have to like start small with gratuity, with being excited about being able to see, with being excited about being able to hear, like being excited about being able to breathe, like little things, like almost like a simpleton, right? And then like you learn how to be gratuitous for just getting a small spot somewhere that you want or having a card. So then once you start doing that, you get in the flow of things.
Is
so
this
things
like
start
Abraham
happening.
Hicks stuff?
Exactly. Abraham
okay.
Hicks is my bitch. I love
yeah.
her. And that's the way that, but getting in the flow
mm-hmm.
will then
the
show
vortex?
You the vortex. Yes, the vortex is the best thing on.
I love the fucking
love
vortex.
I love the vortex. Like, oh my God,
be in the fucking vortex.
Yes, I used to be when I used to tell people when I first started comedy, I was like, I'm in the vortex, so there's really nothing you can do about it.
Wait, so do you do a daily? Do you work on it daily? Because you can feel
yeah,
when you're not in it, and you can feel
totally.
When you're in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Most, yeah, you have to consciously get in it.
But I'm not in it more often. Than
of course,
I am.
Most of us aren't in
okay.
it more often. But when you are
yeah.
in it, you'll start to see things happening easily. So that. Allows you to help you to trust your gut more. So we don't trust our gut when we're not in the flow because you're thinking with your mind a lot and things aren't going the right way. So then you start doubting yourself. So if you're in the flow more and you see things going the right way just through gratuity, you're like...
So that's like the main thing. Because, you know, really I listen to a lot of those recordings and like sometimes I'm like, wait, but how are we getting in it again?
No, it's about so getting in, starting small. So it's just like that,
oh, this feels so good, right? Saying
pet a fucking tree and a pole and be like, I love that my hands have senses that can feel that. There are some people who can't, you know, like that kind of thing.
Like, oh, I love that, like, we have this water.
That this water's available to us. I love that it's so it's clean. Cold and it drinks.
Like, things like that. So you're starting to, so actively
doesn't that already feel better? Like, yeah, and it feels better. So once you start to feel better, things happen easier. And then it tells your mind, oh, this is possible. So then when things are happening easier, it's easier for you to quiet your mind and let your soul, your spirit, your energy, soul is such a religious word, your energy, you'll be like, oh, that feels right, so let me go that way. Just like saying, feeling gratuity for the water feels right, those things, you'll be like, oh, this feels right. And then when things don't feel right, you're like, oh, I don't, like, I won't go to certain places because I'm like, I don't feel happy there.
Yeah.
So I'm not going there. Then when I would not go there more often, I saw something good come about it, right? So I was like, oh, shit.
Is that part of, like, not hanging out, too? Oh, totally. Right?
Now, honestly, like, I'll do, when I do Spot of the Laugh Factory, I go out the back door, like, good. Like, in in and out. I'm here to provide my service that I've worked on for 13 years. I have my voice. You know, even people who want to put me on shows, I tell them in town it's $50 minimum. Like, I'm not, I got my voice. Like, I'm not, unless I'm working on an hour or a new set for something and I need the stage time, I'm good. I don't want to do that anymore for free. I've practiced. I've done the workouts. I've got, I know what I said. I know my sound, you know? So that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Because I was taking every spot and not feeling good. And I'd be like, why am I going to this? I don't want to be there. So then.
What kind of other stuff do you do to like figure out, like get in touch with, and like, and like stick to that and like build the confidence?
Put affirmations up on your walls. Yeah. Like write stuff and put it there so you see it every day. So it's subconsciously in your mind.
You know, but like as like an addict, right?
Yeah. I guess I would say I'm addictive.
Or, okay.
Addictive.
So like I would, you know, I'll be like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And I'll keep doing it. It's almost like hurting myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do you like break that? You just.
You just have to realize that you should only
listen
do
to yourself saying, I don't want to.
You don't. It goes with feelings. It's joy or. Let's say negative, right? Because negative has so many. You could be angry, you could be sad, you could be anxious. But joy is a basic joy. That's one thing. So joy or negative, right? If something makes you feel negative, don't do it. And I'm not saying fear. Because when you start comedy, you feel negative probably all the time before you go on stage. But you're still excited. You're exhilarated. So you don't really feel negative. You feel nervous. Nervousness and fear, I don't think that's negative. I think that's good to feel. But when it actually makes you feel not happy, when like going on that stage doesn't make you feel happy, don't go on that stage. Step back for a little while. Don't let your pride and your ego make you feel like you have to still be doing that. Because then you become nasty and bitter and you're jamming up the, you're just creating a negative block for everyone around. So you take yourself out. It's empowering to take yourself, to say, I'm going to step back for a little bit.
Yeah.
You have to empower yourself. The more you do things because you're supposed to, that's, you're not empowering yourself. You're hurt. You're like, you're digging yourself deeper. You're making yourself more basic to fit in. For what? So you can get the thing you think you need. You're not going to, you'll never have the thing you need. I've been in friends' houses who have mansions. They still are looking for the thing they need. When it's all right inside you. If you're happy, that's all you need.
What do you do with negative thinking? Does that affect you? You seem like a very, like, you know, well-rounded
Oh, girl,
person.
No. I am well-rounded because I've made myself well-rounded, right? I go from zero to, like, I'm dying tomorrow. You know, like, it goes very dark very quickly. So I think I've had to teach myself how to be well-rounded.
Yeah, how do you stop the negative thinking?
Honestly, think medication has helped that. Honestly, I'm going to give some props to the medicine. I think that has help me compartmentalize things because I do notice that my whirlwind of OCD thoughts isn't as strong. Like I'm able to say, okay, that's not true and move on, you know? So that's helped. So I don't know if quieting the negative thoughts can be all my, I can't pat myself on the back for that because I think the medicine has helped that.
Do you have any other daily sort of spiritual things you do?
Just get outside. That's what I just get outside, breathe in the air.
Without your phone on a walk.
Oh, that's the best thing you could do. Yeah. I remember when I got off Facebook for like 8 months. It was the best 8 months.
Facebook
I was so
sucks
happy.
Now.
Facebook is, if you want to just go read negative shit, just go, that's where you want to go. Facebook is for like, I want to hear bad news the whole time. That's it. Instagram's just fun because it's like nice pictures of people living their lives, but even that's too much. Mm-hmm. All of the social media is terrible, and it's even worse for children. Like, my nephews and nieces, I feel so bad for them.
I can't imagine, yeah.
Oh,
I feel
my
bad
God.
For,
it's hard enough. So I feel bad for them.
I would not be on social media if I didn't have to, like, promote myself.
Of course. That's one of the things I hate about this business, is having to even be on that. I'm actually a very, like, private person. Mm-hmm. But in this business, that's another thing that kind of made me want to step back. I was tired of, like, displaying all of my innermost, you know, tales to the world just to get successful in a thing that I love, you know? I was like, yeah, I think I want to kind of like find my spirit again, you know, like because we give our energy to all these to these strangers. These audiences don't care. They laugh. Oh my God. Then they leave. They'll be like, that guy who told that joke or that girl who told that joke about this. Oh, she was so great. And that's it. Done. I have my ride or dies that come out, but even that shit's weird, you know? Like, it's like, what are we doing, you know? It's like, my parents, that shit's important. My fucking niece, those people are important. My dog, my friend, that shit's important. My well-being, me, that's important. But fanship, even when I first started getting fans, I called them friend fans because I felt weird calling, they're people.
Right.
They're human beings who, and some of them will do such great things for you. Those are friends, like, you know, so it's like, it's all gross and it's not good for your spirit, but that's a way to like kind of step away
from. Who keeps you grounded and humbled like this?
I think like, I would say like my mom, but my mom thinks I'm nuts, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think just me, it's all my instant insight that I've always had. It's part of, I think, being a Heyoka is that I just know these things. It's like a clairvoyant is the gift of like seeing and knowing. Mm. There's like a clairknowing and clairvoyant. And I've just always been like that. So friends would come to me for advice because I seem to have wisdom. But then as I got older, I was just like, oh, Thomas is just crazy. Then it was funny. So Thomas is just funny. But now I'm like, no, I have these gifts that I want to share with the world. And I've always wanted to help people on a mass scale. And I thought through comedy, that would be my way. But I realized that that was just a stepping stone for me to figure out how to live in spirit. And comedy has broken down my ego in such a beautiful way that I don't live in ego at all anymore. So now I live in spirit. When I started living in my spirit, all the gifts that I naturally have started to just pop off. And that is how you do it. If you get in, there's ego and spirit.
Yeah, how do you live in it? How do you live in spirit?
You just have to allow, you have to allow your ego, you have to allow yourself to be humbled all the time. Like, you know, show the shit that you don't want to show. You know, be the thing that you're afraid of being. And then admit it and take accountability for all your actions. Every action, every fight, take your side of accountability. In every argument, there's two sides, and both people are right and wrong. So if you take accountability, that stuff builds up to living in your spirit. Because we all walk around in this ego thing. Oh, what am I? I'm going to do this. This one's going to care. None of that matters. And once you stop caring and realizing that none of that matters and the only thing that matters is your well-being and your greatness in spirit, then you're set. Then you're good. Then the simple things, you can have nothing and you'll feel amazing. Hmm. You know? That's the way I think, honestly. Like, just get out of the ego and be humble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to come in.
Yes. Hit me up and we'll do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then favorite Italian dish.
My favorite Italian dish before I went veganish is spaghetti bolognese and obviously lasagna. My mom makes it for me every birthday.
I love it.
I love lasagna. I could eat a whole tray.
It's so fucking good.
It's so amazing. Some mozzarella.
What do you like in it though?
Meat, ground beef, mozzarella, and ricotta, and that's it. Some marinara sauce. That's the New York in me.
I love it. Okay, thank you so much, Thomas, for coming on.
Chelsea.
Thank you guys for listening. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks. Bye.